and Tuesday night. So I just took your Monday and Tuesday nights away for you. Anyway, but let's jump it back into Master Prospectors. You know, people, this book, as I read it and as I prepare for the trainings, I just get more and more excited about just the basic underlying foundational material here that I think that can help everybody. In fact, it's motivated me to start looking at putting together trainings for the ICANN program, and we're gonna put we now decided a 4-step training process for new associates on the ICANN website to just help people step through some of these things, because I think these are acknowledgments and understandings that many of us kind of have ingrained in us. We do them naturally, but the problem is that it's not human nature. It's something that we learned as we made strides and as we read these books and as we, you know, tried to open ourselves up to how we need to be different. Because the reality is if your business isn't growing the way you want it to grow, we need to start looking at ourselves, because the people that need to change are, we need to change. We need to do things differently. And there's so many incredible marketing geniuses in this world and network marketing geniuses that have done this, you know, backwards, forwards, inside out. They've analyzed it from A to Z. Why aren't we tapping into their incredible depth of knowledge and understanding? And that's why I love reading these books. But as I go into, you know, again, the last few weeks and this week on training these materials out of this Master Prospector book, they sound so basic, but they're so crucial to get. And so I'm excited about training today's, because today's has to do with, you know, how we build that relationship with people and the importance of building relationships with people. And I know when people hear that, sometimes they just go, oh, yeah, I know how to build a relationship. And, I think I do too, but every time I read, I always learn something more. I always pick up on something more to do, or go back and start looking at what part of the process have I gotten lazy and left out. And what the next two chapters, chapters 5 and chapter 6, talk about in this book is, number one, they talk about know how to build rapport, and then know how to build bridges. But the reality is there's really a 3-step process to this when you're meeting a new person. There's 3 steps. Number one is building rapport. From the rapport stage, number 2 is building a friendship. And from the friendship stage, is number 3 now transitioning from the friendship stage into the how do I open the door to my opportunity for this person? How do I build that bridge from friendship to opportunity? How do I transition them from talking about themselves to what I have that's very important for them in my life? So we're going to talk about those 3-step process through these next chapters and just really understanding what they are. Sometimes we condense some of the steps and it's not going to be very effective for us. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing a very high effective rate in approaching people and getting them to understand what we have for them. So let's listen to some of the things today, and hopefully we can open your eyes to looking at things differently and taking on a new look. The first chapter, which is chapter 5, it's secret number 5, is how to build rapport. And of course, why is it important to build rapport and instant rapport at that? And the importance of it, of course, is that rapport is a way to allow people to be deeper with each other. It's a way to allow people to really get at the heart in a more meaningful relationship. It's our mechanism for building trust and open and honest communication. Because if you're working with people, a new prospect or somebody on an airplane, and you don't establish that open, honest communication link, then you're not going to go any further with it. And some of us, we bypass that. We don't put enough energy behind making sure we've got that open, honest communication going on before we start launching into our morass of all the things that we can do for people in their lives. So critical to us is the fact that we build that trust and open, honest communication with somebody. And I think some of this has to do with some of us in the past have done different programs where we just hand somebody a business card and move on, or we just hand them a backpack. You know, we did the backpack. And I don't have a problem with using backpacks and educating people, but I always had a problem with the fact that you would just ask somebody, you know, what do you have a health concern? Well, here, listen to this and let me call you back. I think the problem inherent in that is you never build a rapport, you never build a friendship, so you never introduce the trust and all the other elements. They may get excited about the materials, but the problem is that they don't get excited about you. And if they don't get excited about you, the idea that you're ever going to have a long-lasting relationship with them is basically nil. And that's what I've seen with a lot of people that did that backpack approach, is they just got a, they might have signed up a bunch of people and were affected by the materials doing the talking, but because they didn't invest themselves into the person. If you don't invest in that person, if you don't, as a go-giver would say, you don't give more than the value you receive, that means giving more of you, then you don't ever build that relationship that allows that constant commitment to the automatic order, the longevity in the relationship that you so much would like to have and need to have that, you know, a longevity that you have, that we want to have with people in our organizations. So building rapport is critical. It's critical for us to build that trust, to open, honest communication with people. And for a lot of you who have done trainings with me before, you know my favorite two truisms about this business are: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the only way you can do that is by opening them up, building the rapport, and then moving forward into that friendship stage. And that this, in fact, is a need fulfillment business. So in order to really do this business well, we need to find, and you can't do that unless you have open, honest communication, and you can't have open, honest communication unless you build a rapport with a person. So all of it needs to start with that basic underlying fact: we need to build rapport. And the results that you're going to see, I'm going to tell you, people will skyrocket, and they'll just make all the difference in the world. And I just, you know, over the last weekend, being in Detroit and flying in on the same plane with Al and Ray, and then watching Ray work in the airport on our way back on Saturday. It's just amazing when you watch how Ray, there's not a person that he comes up to that he doesn't interact with, he doesn't interface with. I mean, and he'll come up with the craziest things, and sometimes people think he's a little nutty, but they see the joy in his heart and the love in his heart, and he just has that impact on people. And even when we're, you know, there are only like three of us in line to get our you know, boarding passes and our IDs checked before we went through the scanner. And he made all this, I mean, he must have talked to the guy at the scanner for, I don't know, a minute and a half, asking all sorts of questions and how's his dad doing, and, you know, he doesn't even know his dad, you know, he's asking about his father, and his mother had just passed away, and he launches into, well, did she go to the right place, and it's just really kind of cute how Ray just gets into it with people. I mean, it's just, you know, when he walks away from that person, they're joyful, they're laughing, and because Ray builds a rapport. He just builds an instant rapport. He's like a rapport machine, and I just, you know, it's just fun to travel with him. I think I'm a rapport machine, but I, when I watch him operate, I go, oh my gosh, Mary Jo, how many people enter my life who I don't respond to? And if I truly believe the Lord makes no mistakes and there's no coincidences, that means all the people that are placed in my life are placed there with a reason, with a purpose. And so I just, it just made me appreciate, you know, what we have and the gifts we have to touch people's lives and how important it is that we use them. So building that rapport, really critical. And the interesting thing that Kaylin said in this chapter is that if you could have a crystal ball and look down in the future and look at your downline 3 years from now, that not one of your business builders is a person you know today. And I thought that was pretty incredible. Not one of your business builders is a person you know today. So the idea is that if we don't think that we need to go out and talk to people and you know, whether it's on an airplane or whatever, if we just, you know, keep saying, I'm not going to talk to anyone I don't know, we're basically freezing out the opportunity we have for building an incredible business. So the idea is to make sure you put yourself out there, because the reality is that our business builders 3 years from now won't be anyone that we know today. So let's start looking at who are we going to get on board with us in our business. And this has a lot to do with what we talked about last week, which is about the oysters. You know, we keep nurturing our oysters and sitting on them and cooking them and warming them instead of finding oysters that truly have pearls in them. The other concept he brought up in the book was you only get one chance at making a first impression. So he really talks of the importance of making sure that when you come across in that first interaction with people, that it's always a positive one, it's a fun-loving one, it's somebody that you want to link or click with them. So that's part. That's the rapport process. So when you're looking at what first impression I'm giving, you need to present yourself in the best possible light. It's another reason why you know you don't want to walk around with a lot of food in your braces like Mary Jo. I'm kidding. Anyway, you want to make sure that you put your best foot forward, and whatever that might look like. And that's why we talk about building rapport, and we talk about the concepts that he has in this chapter. It's how do we get ourselves positioned most appropriately to have that first great impression with people. So it's important that we recognize that and we don't deny it and we don't walk away and we don't walk around with scowls on our face and, you know, we take on a whole disposition of one of being, you know, bright, cheery, joyful. People are attracted to that. And I don't mean effervescent to the point where you're just, you know, gushing all over the place, but a point where, you know, you're a positive human being. People can see you from a distance and see that you're a positive person. And that's the attractor factor. And sometimes we don't even see that. We get so much anxiety and stress in our lives that we don't see ourselves as other people see us. But they can read that anxiety and that stress that's going on in your life. So we need to walk away from that and start changing our languaging to ourselves so that we can come across as a positive person, because that's part of your attractor factor, is your positive disposition. Okay, so looking, how do we create the rapport? What is rapport, first of all? Did you ever meet someone at an event and within a very few minutes of communication you felt like you had known them your whole life? That's a great question, a great standard to go on. So you just had a lot in common and you just seemed so interested in each other, and that's kind of the magic that you want to create in relationships with people. You want to open up that magic to happen. You want people to say, basically, that they want to be around you. And one of my experiences a couple weeks ago with a gal was when I was working with her, and I worked with her for a couple hours, and she just said, you know, Mary Jo, I don't want to live my life without you being in my life. And I just met her. You know, it was such a cool thing. It was just kind of like, and it was only because I opened up and asked her questions about her. I got to know her, and I got her to look at herself in a different way, perhaps, than she had in the past. And when you can open that up for people and create new possibilities for them, that's a neat thing to do, because they all of a sudden start feeling good about themselves. And if you're the one that's around in that environment to allow people to feel good about themselves, they want you more in their environment day in and day out, because that's what gave them that uplifting feeling. So, you know, that's kind of a goal you can put for this. And the relationship is one where it becomes open, honest communication. That's the relaxation you want, because if you don't have that open, honest communication, again, you're not going to be able to take it to another level. You want it because you're never going to find out what's really going on inside of them. You know, so many times we talk about, you know, falling in love with objections and listening to them. And one of the things I teach about is making sure the objection is really an objection. Well, if you haven't built a rapport with somebody, you'll never know whether it's a false objection, it's just something they made up because they didn't want to make a decision or they felt uncomfortable. All this other stuff can come out of them. So the important critical nature here is to avoid having a relationship with somebody or getting to the point of trying to market your program to somebody when you haven't reached that open, honest communication level yet. You're still, and we sometimes jump ahead. All of you can look at that and how that happens when you're working with people, that you're trying to promote a program and you're getting out of integrity with yourself, and you feel, sometimes you, even the awkwardness you feel, that's what it is. You're feeling awkward because you don't even know this person and you're just trying to dump something on them, and you start feeling that feeling. It's a feeling that I tell people looks like this. Some of you, when you talk to me about some of the issues, you go, Mary Jo, I just don't like to sell people things. I feel like I'm taking advantage of people. And I'm going to tell you, those feelings are generated because you haven't built a rapport. You haven't gotten to that open, honest communication with somebody. You haven't gotten to that heart center. Because when you really get to the heart and you really get to that open, honest communication, and you start looking at what you can do for this person's life, now you're not selling them on anything. You're just opening possibilities to pour into them in a greater way. So the word sell doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even fit, because you've already got a depth of a relationship there in terms of the rapport that you've built. When you come across certain people and they give you a lot of flack, I mean a lot of negativity and a lot of objections, what do you do in terms of those kind of relationships? If people are avoiding relationships, if people are avoiding being in relationship with others, I'm going to suggest you move on. Because if they're avoiding being in relationship with you, what do you think they're going to do with Manatech? How effective are they going to be when the whole gist of your program is to go out and build relationships with people? So you have to really evaluate, is this person somebody that's really going to be effective sharing with other people? And that's why you're looking for people who like people who like to make a difference in other people's lives. And it doesn't mean you wouldn't get them started on the products, but I'm saying that, you know, it's going to take you a crowbar to pull them forward to actually go and share in an effective way, because they are relationship avoidance tactics. They've been, you know, it's been instilled and ingrained in their lives. Until they go through, you know, a year of self-development and really understand that the whole world is based on relationships, and unless they make an investment in that, they're not really going to move forward in any aspect of their life. They've got to come to that conclusion, and for you to try to think that you're going to train them through all that and lead, guide, and direct them is a huge undertaking. There are enough people out there, trust me, that really love to build relationships, and those are the people that you want to find. Okay, so let's look at how to build rapport. And, of course, Kalinch deals with, there are a lot of books out there, and Kalinch deals with a number of the issues in what we call neuro-linguistic programming, which is the art and science of communication. And they're all found in the outline under four, which we call match and mirror. And match and mirror is really the true technique in building that instant rapport with somebody, match and mirror. You want to have a first and lasting and positive first impression, then understand these principles very well, because this is what works. So when you match and mirror, what you're doing is you're understanding where the person's coming from who you're working with. You get to get the flavor of what makes them tick. You get their body language, you get their eye language, their breathing, all these different aspects. Because we know, I think the statistic is 80% of all communication is not undertaken in words. It's undertaken in body language, in inflections in the voice, all sorts of things, posturing, all these things that put so much, and they give us so much information that if you're in denial around it, if you're not seeing it, then you got to really jump in and understand it. So, and he talked in his book, he talked about looking and just being a people watcher. You know, start going out and doing people watching to get a flavor of what this might look like. You're going to see people who talk to each other who never make eye contact and barely communicate, no touching, no anything, and they're probably got a lot of stuff going on in that relationship. And then you'll see other people sitting down at a table, a man and a woman perhaps, that are just totally, they're leaning into each other, they're laughing, they're touching, there's a lot of interaction going on, and you're going to see a whole different level of harmony going on in that relationship than you did in the prior relationship. So it's when people are getting along, there's a lot of mirroring going on. In other words, there's a lot of reflection. One person's reflecting the other person. It's reflecting back a behavior, a gesture of somebody that you're speaking to. So what that means is that when you enter into a relationship with somebody, on, let's say a brand new prospect that you meet on an airplane or meet at church or you meet somewhere, if they're, a little bit, you know, very formal and very structured, you want to try to step into that quadrant with them and be more formal and more structured with them. You're going to be building better rapport if you meet them where they are instead of being your normal, jovial promoter self, which may shut them down. It's not going to leave that great first impression that they're looking for. If they're in the analyst quadrant, you want to start speaking language around that analyst quadrant. It's kind of what we talked about in quadrant analysis, how to move into different people's communication styles and their personality types so that you can meet them where they are. So looking at the different aspects of match and mirroring, you look at posture, how a person is sitting or standing, their arms are positioned, their hand gestures, the way they're tilting their head, their legs are crossed, they're sitting back or leaning forward, and match their posture. If they're sitting back, you sit back. If they're leaning forward, then you lean forward. Meet them in their posture. That's where they're going to be most comfortable in communication style. So you want to meet them in their posture. Now, if you have somebody that's got their arms closed and, you know, crossed arms and all that stuff, then start off with your arms crossed. Meet them in their posture. How do you move them forward? Because we know that crossed arms is typically closed communication style. As you meet them in their posture, then gradually you can start unfolding. As the communication goes forward, start unfolding your arms. I'm telling you, people, do this and watch what happens to the people around you. You will tend to shift them. There's this whole thing going on that's not even, I'm going to tell you, it's more subconscious than conscious by them. As you unfold your arms, watch how long it takes for them to unfold their arms. Now, some of you are going to go, Mary Jo, how can I do that and just focus on exactly what word I'm saying out of my mouth? That's one of your problems. You're spending way too much time focusing on every single word that comes out of your mouth. So have your presentation down. Have your ability to flow down. Come from your heart. But let that language flow so that you can focus on other things that are really critical to you building that relationship. If you're spending all your time focusing on exactly what words are coming out, I'm going to tell you it's not going to work, because that's only 20% of the total communication taking place. So be aware. Have that awareness. You know, match their posture. And then gradually you can start shifting, but it's got to be matching their posture up front. That's what's going to make them feel most comfortable, is a matching posture. All right? Breathing style. We all breathe differently. It's just like posture. It's a form of communication. Okay? So if the person you're with is really breathing, you know, quickly or breathing very slowly, then try to slow down. It will tend to be part of how fast you talk as well. People who breathe really fast tend to have a faster communication style. People that breathe very slowly tend to be more methodical. You want to match that style. Eye movements. As you watch another person's eyes, match the direction they're going. If a person can't look at you straight in the face, straight in the eyes, then should you stare straight into theirs? No. Eyes are the windows of the soul. Study the eye direction, especially after asking a question. The eyes can tell you a lot of things about people. This is critical to understand. If their eyes move up as to imagine a picture, you know, if you say something to somebody and ask them a question, their eyes kind of go up. This is typically a sign that their eyes tend to move back and forth. That tends to mean that they're more auditory. And if their eyes tend to look down, they're trying to get in touch. Eyes looking down are people that tend to be people that are trying to get in touch with their feelings, their heart. They're trying to feel it. They're trying to get that sense of feeling. So when you see those kind of eye movements, you can know where to go. If they're trying to get in touch with their feelings, then the languaging from you is like, well, what do you feel about that? What are you sensing? You see? Now, if I talk about feeling and sensing to somebody who's very visual, they're not going to respond as well. So again, this is all about, how do I build that first impression? How do I build that rapport with somebody? I understand their body language. I understand what they're communicating without saying any words. And then we also have speaking styles that he brings up. Most people fall into one of three categories. Okay, when they're speaking and they're using normal communication, if somebody says, well, I see, they use the word I see, it's not because they're saying I'm a visual person, it's just that's the terminology that typically comes from a visual person, because their life is about sight, it's about visualization, and so that becomes part of their patterning of their language as well. They tend to describe things in pictures. So vision is the dominant sense that they process with. So you're going to be much more effective with somebody like that who keeps saying, well, I see what you're doing here. I see what this is about, but what about this? You're going to be more dynamic with that person by using more visual approach and stay into the realm of see. You know what I saw when I first looked at this program? You get, see, your language can mimic their language, and they will relate to that. So it's not that you have to all of a sudden have, like, you know, a dog and pony show in terms of visualization. You just need to communicate at the same level they're communicating. Auditory people say, I hear, because kinesthetic people process with other senses, especially feelings. So they'll say, well, I'm not sure I know what I feel about it. I'm going to have to, you know, really think about that and see what my response would be. And their voices tend to be, people are kinesthetic, people who process through senses tend to have a lot softer voices. and their speech is, again, tends to be slower. They're more intuitive. And these are the people that, again, they'll be more that feeling people. They'll be the people that eyesight will tend to look down because they're trying to get in touch with that feeling, the feeling inside of them. Facts are far less important to them than feeling right. Okay, so these are just, again, match and mirror. The importance for you is to match up with them. Very consistent with the concept of what we talked about, personality quadrants. Just other mechanisms for you to use to really match up with people so that you can build that instant rapport. All right, so the action steps at the end of this chapter are basically when you meet, what impressions do you want to leave with people? So what is your goal? You know, if your goal is like mine, I want everyone who meets Mary Jo to, at the end of my communication, I'd love them for them to say, wow, I don't want to live any day of my life without you being in my life. That'd be so cool. Not that I could ever support that, but the idea that that's the kind of impact I had on their life, that I made them feel good about themselves, or I made them feel differently. I made them feel empowered to do something different, to create something different in their lives, that life is really about what the future has in store for us, and it's a great-looking future. And if I can get people to be along that pathway, wow, what a way to touch people's lives, to give them new hope and get them out of their forlorn state. That's what my impact. So you write down what do you want to leave with people? How do you want them to think of you when you walk away? And then what do you need to do? What do you need to do to learn more about rapport building and really entrench yourself? If you just start taking some of these mirroring principles, that's the third step, is taking them and start applying them. And I'm just going to suggest start today. Don't put it out till tomorrow. Start today. Take on, you know, maybe say, okay, today I'm going to really look and analyze people's posture. And just pick on posture and do that for a week. And then next week pick on eye movement and do that for a week. And then pick on speaking style. Do I hear, every time you hear the words I see or I hear, or I hear you say this, or I feel that, really pick up on those words. They're not just throw-out words. They have a lot of meaning behind them. These people are really expressing themselves from where their whole communication comes from. So relate to them at that level and start watching what happens in your relationships. Okay, so now you've built the rapport. You've gotten into that first step of just allowing them to feel like they can have open, honest communication. Some people say building rapport, and I've probably been, you know, victim to this myself, is like asking people questions about them. You can't jump in and say, you know, how's your family, how's this? If you don't build the rapport up front, people aren't going to be in the realm of answering those questions in an open, honest communication. So the rapport is the first step, and then once you get an open, honest communication, then you can start working on what we call the second step, which is the friendship step. And in chapter six, secret number six, he talks about love to build bridges. But before you can build the bridge, you got to first build the friendship. You want to build that friendship. So it's build rapport. Number two is build friendship. Number three is then build your bridges. But we'll talk about building that friendship first. And remember what we said about pearls, 10 pearls in every 100 oysters. So you got to make sure that you're out there searching for those. You know, master prospectors look at the world as their oysters. There is no limit to us in terms of oysters. Oysters are everybody on the face of the earth. So that's the world are our oysters. So we treat them that way. And we look at every human being as a potential for us to work with and be involved in our business. We also have the ideal of this, that, and this is truly how I feel, there is no stranger on the face of the earth. It's truly how Ray Robbins feels, if you, again, ever travel with him. There is no stranger on the face of the earth. A stranger is defined as simply a friend you have not met yet. And that's a beautiful thing, a beautiful way to look at it. You're just a friend of mine that I have not yet met. So that's who a stranger is. And, again, getting to know people. So what you want to do is you want to go out and you want to work with strangers to build what? Friendships. And if you look at your business, this helped a couple of people in my organization in the past. I know when I talked to them about it, it just put a whole new light for them in doing Manatech. If you are always making friends, if your business is about going and making friends, then you're never looking for prospects. Does that change the Manatech business for you? If your business is about making friends, then you're never looking for prospects. So how does that change the business for you? Take on a new look at it, because that's really what it is. It's about building new friendships. So go out and build friendships. Don't go prospecting, go build friendships. After you build this, so let's talk about building friendships. So after you get the rapport established that you've gotten to a point where they feel comfortable with you because you're relating to them in whatever personality quadrant, you're relating to them by matching and mirroring their behavior, both their posturing, their eye movements, their, you know, communication styles, all of those things, you're mirroring and matching up with them, so you're causing them to feel more comfortable with you. Now it's about, you know, building your friendship. And to build friendship requires a genuine curiosity in people. In fact, all master prospectors have an insatiable curiosity in the people they meet. They just want to know everything about them. They just want, and in order for you to take on that posture, you have to value people. So if your life is about going out there and judgment around people, you're not going to be a judgment. You got to set aside the differences. You truly have to quit being part of, you know, this red-black game, win-lose game that we're so tied into. And we're tied into it for what reason? Because we're surrounded with it. We're absolutely trounced by it, by our society. You look at the political world, oh my gosh, the emails I get and the nasty commentary that goes on, it just drives me, it hurts my heart. And some of these are from people I love and I care about, and I get this trash in the internet and on emails, and it just breaks my heart. You know, we are truly all one, and we can get competitive about things, but you know what? The reality is these people are good people. I look at all the candidates running for political office. They're all good. I mean, you know, you can say all this judgment, all this trash talk, but you're letting all of that influence you. First of all, it's not very Christian-like. None of it is. And secondly, it's not about where we are as people. We all are created in the image of God, and we're all created that way. So we are to be loving people. But no, you'd never believe that by looking at what goes on. Just because we have a competitive political election, everybody trash talks and I mean, it's awful. It's awful. So we got to get around judgment. We got to leave that aside. And if this country doesn't start doing that, we're not going anywhere except one direction. And it's pretty evident where that's headed. So we got to get that consensus back that we're all one and that we all need support. We're all, as we say, we're all Americans. We, you know, and for when we do Manatech, we're all, we can't just go through the divisions of our countries and our boundaries. We're all one when we talk about people in South Africa and people in Korea and people in Japan and people everywhere we go. So that's the only way, if you break down that barrier, that you're going to be able to have curiosity. Because if you're stuck in judgment, the minute somebody says something you don't agree with, you're going to go off the deep end because you're stuck in judgment. And then you lose the curiosity, the insatiable curiosity about the person, because you're already judging them. They don't fit into your paradigm for some reason. Well, welcome to the world. Thank goodness people don't fit into your paradigm, because then we'd all be the same. And that's part of the beauty of who we are as a human nature and human race. So the intriguing thing is that we want to have that incredible curiosity with people. And I think I've talked on the call before about the incredible study that was done where they sent some psychologists on an airplane and they said, you have to go travel. It was a five-hour plane. It was from New York to Los Angeles, so it was a five-hour flight. And they said, you can't disclose who you are, anything about you. Your whole job on the plane is to sit next to people and ask them questions. So they sent a bunch of researchers at the end of it where the plane was going to land. And as these people got off the plane who sat next to the psychologist, they were interviewed. And all these people said, that was the most incredible person I've ever met in my life. I mean, on and on. They just were so, they were so pumped to have met this person sitting next to him on the airplane. And the next question that researchers asked was, well, what was his name? And none of them even knew the name of the person that was sitting next to him. Because the psychologist was asked to just ask people questions, let them talk about themselves. And you can see, if you can talk about yourself for 5 hours across a country in an airplane, imagine the kind of rapport and the friendship that you built with this person, because what's happened is they have gotten to that incredible open, honest communication realm, and then they've divulged everything under the sun to you about their lives. You could write a book about their lives. But what has it done to them? The impact on them is they're exhilarated. They're absolutely exhilarated because the whole conversation was about them. So it's a concept about getting to talk to people and opening up and asking questions. And we've talked about FORM before, F-O-R-M, Family, Occupation, Recreation, Motivation. That's just a concept, an acronym you can carry with you to know what direction you can be moving towards asking questions. You need to be best at listening, hearing them and responding in that listening mode. And the response isn't about better than. I think that we inherently, as we grow up as kids, as children, and this immaturity exists in a lot of us even today. As we get older, we even carry it with us because we've never learned how obnoxious the behavior really is. But it's the better than concept. And you don't even realize that you're doing it. You're not saying it because you want to tell somebody you're better than them, but that's exactly the communication that comes out. When somebody shares with you about their trip to England and what a great time they had, and the first thing out of your mouth is, oh, my gosh, you know, I was in England twice, and I went to see this, this, and this, and this is what we did. And because we're in this comparative mode. For some, it's a competitive comparative mode. You know, the person that's communicating to you about their trip to England never has to know you ever went to England. You can just be with them, listen to them. They didn't ask you if you've ever been to England. So the communication is, really, what did you enjoy? What did you get to see? Oh, you know, da, 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 da. And you just ask questions. They want to talk about their trip to England, then ask questions and find out about their trip to England. It's not about you. But we right away want to jump in with our language about us. Oh, my gosh, stop. Because we're so excited about our lives, we can't put it as not as important as their lives. So it's time to make them more important than you. So watch that in your behavior of communication skills and see if you're actually participating at that level, because I'm going to tell you people, it's epidemic. That nature tends to be ingrained in so many people. So allow them to be the center of attention, not you. So get out of that better than trap. And again, don't think of it as a better than, because I don't think that's what's going through your brain. I just think we found a common topic, so we want to spew all our stuff out. Well, they haven't hardly gotten into their conversation, and you're cutting them off all of a sudden, because they're going to hear it, no matter what it sounds like to you, they're going to hear it like one-upsmanship, because they're exhilarated about their new experience, and by you saying, well, I did that 2 years ago, and all of a sudden it causes a damper on their enthusiasm. And when you damper people's enthusiasm, do you think you're going to be more effective or less effective in that relationship? I will guarantee you, less effective. You want to build on people's enthusiasm, not dampen it. Okay? And then, you know, watch this relationship as you're getting to start to know them, and as that friendship starts building, you're going to know the tone of voice, the softer, more comfortable, non-aggressive, a new posture, open, more relaxed. Their body language will show it as well with their language, the way you hear their voice. That will change as well. So just be open and ready to hear that. And then you're going to know that they've made the shift. Now you're in the friendship mode. You've gotten them to that friendship mode, because you'll see the shift in their language. Happens with everyone we talk to. All right, and then the last, step three, which is so critical. Wow, we don't have much time, but I want to emphasize it a lot because it's so critical, is building them a bridge. So many of you don't know how to transition from friendship into Manatech. And that's a big crisis for a lot of you, because you end up talking to people for an hour and a half, and then you get off the phone and you go, oops, I never did bring up Manatech. And it's important to transition, because if you don't transition, you're never going to get anyone new in your business. You're never going to get a new consumer in your downline, because you've never introduced it to them. So we have both things that can happen to you as a person. Number one, you can get there too fast, which is, I think, the majority of Manatech associates jump into Manatech too fast in the conversation. But then there's the other side of the coin, the people that are so scared in their own shadow and they don't want to, they need to be liked, so they're fearful of even bringing it up, and then they end up talking to somebody for an hour and a half and getting off the phone and going, darn it, I didn't even bring up Manatech. Yeah. So you need to have transition. You have to have means of transitioning from that friendship side into building them into what you have to offer. Well, the key point is to get the person first. The key point is this. This is what you want to look at. I'm not trying to close the person in this call or in this meeting with them. What I'm trying to do with this brand new person is get them to take a look, an open-minded, friend-to-friend look at this possibility for their life. If that's, you put that as your goal, my goal is to get this person to take a look, an open-minded, friend-to-friend look at the Manitech experience. That's what your goal is. So to do that, you got to first build rapport. Secondly, build that friendship. Get them to the point where they have a brand new posture, new tone of voice, new everything. They've really, you know, are in tune with you. And then third, do the bridge. But those things, you have to lay the foundation first before you bridge them into the Manitech opportunity. So don't get there too fast. But your goal is what? Again, to get them to take a look at an open mind, as an open-minded friend or friend, a look at that business opportunity or that, you know, consumer opportunity, whatever you're approaching them with. Or hopefully both, at least get that income opportunity somewhere in there today because of the recession. Mechanism for doing that, here I'm, and I'm going to go over them quickly, but I think you ought to really look hard at these. I'll give you some examples. There are a bunch of mechanisms he gives us in the book in terms of how to do that bridge. What do those bridges actually look like? Because you got to it's a transitional bridge so you can get them to the other side. You're taking them from the pure friendship, all about me, because now your conversation has been what all about them for the last, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes, or whatever time you spent on it. So you've been now you need to transition into looking at what you have to offer. So that transition can look many different ways. Here's a bunch of them. I'll just go through them. First one of them is, maybe you can help me. That's a great transitional phrase. So you're right in the midst of the conversation there. You're asking questions about them, and then you get to the point where, you know, you've been doing this for 10, 15 minutes or whatever time period where you see that transition where they truly are just really having a lot of joy with you in the conversation. Then you can go, maybe you can help me. Okay, that's your lead-in. And it can go something like this. Maybe you can help me. I have a business here in town, and it's growing so rapidly that I'm looking for people interested in supplementing their income on a part-time basis. Do you know anyone who might be interested? Now, notice how it becomes third-party approach. So it takes the heat off of them, and it opens up to third-party. Here's another one. Maybe you can help me. I'm looking for people who want to earn money but don't want to go to an office from 9 to 5 every day. You know, people who want to spend more time at home with their kids and their families. And the do you know questions that come after are typically like this. Maybe you can help me. Do you have any women friends who would like to look 10 years younger? Maybe you can help me. Do you know anyone who's good with people and wants more creative control? I like this one. Do you know anyone who's good with people and wants more creative control of their work, their time, and their life? I love that language. That was one of the ones I circled and said, I'm going to use that one. More creative control of their work, their time, and their life. So again, it's about third party, but it's you're asking them to help you out. So that's a great thing. It's asking them, you know, and you can actually get the do you knows from the information you've used in building the relationship. You tie it back to, you know, what they've done in their lives. So you can tie it into some of the things you've learned in building that relationship. A second transition, okay, so that's one transition. Maybe you can help me. The word help is that's the whole reason that works. Help is a gigantic word. All you got to do is mention the word help to somebody and watch their response. We're all about helping people. So when you say, maybe you can help me, and then ask a question. All right? Second one is asking for advice. And the way you come up with this is the same thing. You've already tapped into information that you've learned from them through form. So you can ask advice. So if, let's say you were working with somebody and they were in the, let's say, the real estate market, right? Because you have a lot of people out there today that are not making any money in real estate. So you got a ton of people ready and rearing to hear from you. So let's say you're meeting with Tom for lunch and he was a real estate broker. And you go, Tom, I'm curious, how would you go about introducing real estate agents like yourself to an opportunity that would enable them to put their powerful people skills and organizational skills to work for them, providing a part-time profit center? How's that? I love that. see, and you found out they're in the real estate business because that's what, when you were asking all sorts of questions, you found out what they're going to do. Or, Bob, I'm curious, how would you go about introducing high school teachers like yourself to an opportunity that would enable them to put their powerful teaching skills to work and turn their long summer vacations into major part-time profit centers? Or, Sarah, what advice would you give me about how I can approach mothers and homemakers to let them know about an opportunity where they could be with their families, yet earn a significant income running their own home-based business part-time? Those are the kind of questions, okay? What you're doing is you're asking for advice. You're asking them for advice on how you could tap into their quadrants of employment, whatever that is, whether it's homemakers or it's real estate agents or it's high school teachers, whatever it is, but you're using that language to find out how you could tap into their group. You're asking them for marketing advice. What a wonderful way to bridge that gap, right? That's a great bridge. Another one is championing one of their complaints. So if they're complaining about something in their life, you know, if something's going bad, you want to champion that. You want to tell me more about that. What's that like for you? How do you feel about that? So you want them to get it out of their system, whatever it is that they're griping about, get it out of their system. And then once you've championed their cause, you've gone there not to wallow with them, but just to learn more about how it's making them feel so they really start feeling it, then you transition into, Margaret, if I could show you a way that over the next 6 months to a year you could start the business you've always wanted, work from your home, the days and hours you choose, and earn that additional $1,200 a month to build that dream house you talked about, would you be willing to take a serious look at something that could provide that for you? So if I could show you a way, and the if I could show you a way is probably, as Claylin says, the number one transition, bridge you away. All right, so those are just some examples of transitions, bridging. That's the bridges that master prospectors use. They transition from communicating all about the person into talking about the opportunity they have for the people. And you just need to jump in on those, take it in one, two, three, or whatever way you want to do and use those to start transitioning, because you've got to take control of that conversation and move it forward in a way that's going to draw them to your business opportunity. And some prospects won't move that quickly. They won't want to move. They're kind of stuck. But don't ever slam the door. If they're resistant, don't slam the door, because I'm telling you, he says that some prospects are just like a good wine. They're better after aging, and that's absolutely true. I've had people that have looked at this 5 years ago, and they're finally coming in today. And, I mean, that happens, and it's going to happen for you as well. So don't ever slam the door. Put them on your man of mail list or something so you keep in contact, and soon they'll see it. They'll jump on board. And then at the end of this section of the outline, I gave you some action steps on what you can do to start implementing this. But the most important thing is start using some of those bridges in your transition talk. You want to make sure that you're bridging it. But, you know, some of you don't need to bridge, because all you do is meet somebody and you throw right in their face, boom, right out of the box. Okay, tell me, where is the open, honest communication and where is the friendship? If you don't have open, honest communication with somebody and you don't have a friendship, then I'm going to suggest don't open up the door of the Manotech business. Build that rapport, build that friendship, then build the bridge. Step one, step two, step three. It's a beautiful mechanism. Just keep that in mind. I think it's terrific training, terrific education for all of us. Okay, that's it. Anyone have any questions, comments? Was this a new way of looking at how you're going to go out and prospect? Did this open your eyes to some things that might be holding you back in how you are currently prospecting?
Yes, it does. Do you have any of those examples like written down?
I knew that was coming.
So fast,
okay, so you want me to type up a bunch of those on the building bridges? You want me to type up those for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll type them up. I'll put them out today.
Thank you very much.
We'll send them out as an update on the call. Okay?
That was excellent.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Do you guys see how? Give me some feedback. Which ones do you think you've been leaving out of your prospecting? Building the rapport, or building the friendship, or building the bridge? Which ones?
Or building the bridge.
Building the bridge. You feel like you're having a hard time transitioning, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. because we love to talk to people and we can talk about anything, but it's like all of a sudden we lose track of the conversation and Manifest never comes up. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Great, great, great.
Mary Jo, I think so much we have an agenda, and so we just blast all over them without the first steps of trying to get to know them.
Totally agree with that. I see it all the time. And then we wonder why we get such bad results. Well, we never got to the open, honest communication, and we never got to the friendship.
Yeah, and that's how we train our prospects, how we train our other people. They watch what we do.
And that doesn't work for them either, does it?
Correct. So then that's why you have a whole lot of empty zeros on our downlines.
There you go. There you go. And if you
I like the part about if your business is all about making friends, then you're never looking for prospects, and that really
great?
Helps take that agenda out of there.
Oh, isn't that a powerful statement? Oh, doesn't that help you with the concept of when somebody said, well, I don't like to sell, and you go, it's about building friendships. Do you get this? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's about building friendships, and building friendships is selling you, and it's not selling a product. You're selling yourself because you're building friendships. That's really what all you're selling is yourself. You're you're showing, pouring into people, showing them how much you love on them, and that just helps them grow. Absolutely.
I think it was good for me to see that there were actually three steps because I feel like I have swung. I think initially I was dumping on people, and lately I feel like I've been listening to people and then getting Manatech in. So I think that what you shared this morning is to help me realize that all three aspects are important in that relationship with that person. So
wonderful.
Thank you very much.
You bet. And they are important. And some of us have to outline them as a discipline to make sure we do them. Because if we leave any of them behind, we're taking away our effectiveness. So, you know, sometimes structure up front is really pays off until they become a part of, you know, just your natural progression. But I'll tell you, even if they become part of your natural progression, we can get lazy with them because we can be impatient. And our impatience is what causes us to bypass some of those first two steps. And then we're not very effective. And then we get even more impatient because it's not working, okay? I love the it's not working. There's no such thing about it not working. It's about us being not very functional in what we're attempting to do. So let's increase our effectiveness by, you know, dealing with and grappling with each of those three steps. Yep. Okay, you guys, great feedback, great call. Love you all. You guys have a couple of great weeks. Take these new tools. And, you know,